Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Brooks, our first half of this program was about historical events of the Freedom Rise and the Greyhound Bus Museum in Hibbing. There's a historic edifice in Duluth that's set to get a makeover.
Yes, it has historic in its name, in fact. Duluth's historic Old Central High School, that iconic landmark with the clock tower right downtown, it's going to be sold, and for $3 million, we found out recently. A purchase agreement was finally released. There have been plans to convert the building into a 121 mixed-income apartment complex. So this is a very, very old building. In 1892, it was built, and it was used as a high school until 1971. And now listeners may know that there's another Duluth Central High School, and that's on the city's hillside. And that is also up for sale, but no movement yet. However, the district is planning to spend $31.5 million to build new district offices, because until now, the historic Old Central has served as the headquarters for the Duluth School District.
All right. Well, not quite as historic, but another public edifice that costs public money is Spirit Mountain. How are things looking there from a city money management point of view?
Yes, well, a big announcement recently from Duluth Mayor Emily Larson. She proposed investing $24 million into Spirit Mountain, which is owned by the city. And about half that money would come from the state under a bonding proposal, so no guarantees that actually comes. And then the other $12 million would come from half from the city in a bond and half from Spirit Mountain, who would use its own revenues to cover its debt payments. It'd be the largest investment in the mountain since it was created as a recreation area in 1973. In that time, the city has spent a total of about $20 million in tourism taxes and issued just about $19 million in bonds to support operations. So this would be the major generational overhaul that the mountain needs, according to a task force and consultant that was brought on and issued a report earlier this year. So they're talking about, you know, tearing down old lifts and putting up a new high-speed one, really just optimizing service, getting prices where they need to be, checking lift tickets, and a number of other things, which adds up pretty quickly. You know, still on the table is the possibility to lease this out to a private operator. There's a lot that has to happen first to find out if that can happen. That's the most common way we see ski resorts, including Lutzen, operate on public land.
Well, back to our historical theme. Grandma's Marathon is a pretty historic event. And this year, is it getting back to normal, getting back to its history?
I sure hope so. It's right now, you know, with restrictions easing in Minnesota, Grandma's Marathon announced that they are going to allow spectators after all, and there will even be post-race celebrations allowed, including live music. So it seems as though, you know, we're being rewarded for getting our vaccines and meeting these targets that the governor has set with a little taste of normalcy in Duluth. Last year, it was run entirely virtual. The in-person marathon was canceled entirely, and this year, they're bringing it back in a phased approach. It is the largest marathon, too, that is being held in this early post-pandemic. Is it too early to say that? Post-pandemic era. So all eyes on Duluth as we see how we can safely hold this with spectators, with events in June, as you know, we're expected to see thousands of people come into town and hopefully give a little kick to the tourism industry.
Okay. Well, Danny, even if Grandma's is getting back to almost normal, there's still some COVID contretemps happening on the Wisconsin side of the border.
Yeah, well, this week, you know, Republican lawmakers from Western and Northwestern Wisconsin kind of have been talking about their intentions to ban mandatory COVID-19 testing and vaccination at University of Wisconsin System campuses, which would include UW-Superior. State Senator Rob Stafschultz, who represents Western Wisconsin, and also Representative Gay Magnifici, who represents areas of Northwestern Wisconsin, are shopping around a bill where they're looking to ban the state's universities and technical colleges from requiring regular coronavirus testing or vaccination. There were some concerns expressed by these lawmakers that, you know, maybe the UW system's policy for requiring testing was infringing or invading on students' medical privacy. And in response, UW systems spokesperson Mark Pitch has said that, you know, this mandatory testing is pretty essential for enabling a safe return to in-campus learning in the fall. You know, they have a goal of 75% in-person classes this coming fall. And so in order to do that, they say that testing is a key part of that effort. And it's likely that if this bill moves forward, that it would be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers.
All right. Well, as the state lawmakers continue their political wrangling, Wisconsin's Native American tribes are giving an update of their concerns.
Yeah, and there were a number of them that were expressed by Lactus Lambeau tribal president John D. Johnson Sr. He was the one that was giving this year's State of the Tribes address before lawmakers at the state capitol. And some of the things that he touched on were increased drug abuse due to the COVID-19 pandemic. He said that fentanyl and methamphetamine abuse continue to impact northern Wisconsin as well as the entire country. So, abuse of prescription drugs, that's something that he would like to see more funding under the state budget to go towards regional mental health centers, which Governor Tony Evers has proposed under his next 2-year budget. But it's unclear whether Republicans would support those proposals. They've already stripped hundreds of Governor Evers' proposals from the budget. Other things that Lactus Lambeau President Johnson touched on included harassment and racism that tribal members encounter as they defend their federal treaty rights to hunt, fish, and gather. He also called on schools and organizations to retire the use of race-based mascots, which are still used by about 30 school districts in Wisconsin. And there's been a bit of back and forth over that among administrations in the last decade. Former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle had signed a bill in 2010 that made it difficult for schools to retain these mascots, but then later that was reversed by Governor Scott Walker, citing concerns over free speech. So Johnson is hoping that this year there will be more momentum under that, and Governor Evers has proposed setting aside some money under the budget to help schools replace race-based nicknames. And Johnson also touched on mining, saying that basically any mining in Wisconsin should be rejected until they know that there are protections in place for public health, safety, and natural resources.
All right. Well, lastly, the loon is a state bird of Minnesota. What's happening with them in Wisconsin?
Well, yeah, in Wisconsin, we had an unfortunate event in the central portion of the state near Anago, where a lot of loons just fell from the sky one evening because of icy conditions that caused loons to be coated with ice, and they just dropped out. The Raptor Education Group near Anago rehabbed and released 8 loons that fell. They had seen injuries, including internal bleeding and collapsed lungs in some of these birds. And so it's really good to see that they've been able to restore some of these birds to full health because, you know, in recent decades, there's been a gradual decline of loon populations throughout the region. And in Oneida County, where the Loon Project studies their population, they've seen loon numbers plummet about 22% in the past 25 years. So it's good to be doing whatever we can to keep these birds up in the air and flying.
Right. Let's hope they get back on the wing. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport, and be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Next week.
We only had a suitcase for two.
we'll have one last visit, locally anyway, with one less guest before they head out to a new life and stardom, we hope, in California. That's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more than music of Danny Frank, something that should be familiar. Stay safe, everyone.
There's a town on a lake not far from here. We got good coffee shops and plenty of beers. It's Simply Superior. There's a show that's playing on your radio about places to see and people you know. It's Simply Superior. Now come on down and let's sing it. We got a little more ways to go. And if you want to be part of it, I'll just tune in for the show. There's a town on a lake not far from here. We got good coffee shops